All right. Psalm 39. And tonight, the way my brain works, I like to study my messages right before I preach them. And I can't begin studying on Sunday night until I've finished studying for Sunday morning's message. I can't crisscross over them. Well, last Sunday night, you know, we didn't have service because we had our fifth Sunday. And I had forgotten about that through the week. And I prepared this message was ready for last week. And so I really don't like doing that. I like for it to be fresh on my mind as I'm doing the preparation. It's just a fresh digging in there, I guess, is what I really like. But here it is. It's been sitting for 2 weeks, but I went back over my notes and all of that. And so we'll make it through it. But this psalm is, some say this psalm is an extension of Psalm 39, or 38, I'm sorry. And you probably don't remember because it's been 2 weeks, but in Psalm 38, David was remembering the chastening hand of God that was upon him. And he remembered how the hand of God afflicted him. And that affliction, if you're going to use Facebook Live, it's good to hit go live. He remembered how that the God, in Psalm 38, David remembered that God's hand was upon him, and the afflictions that he was experiencing in life was because of sin. Now, in Psalm 39, David is recollecting upon that, and he leaves upon record the workings of God upon his heart. God brought chastening into his life because of his sin, and now he reflects upon that. Let me say this, if afflictions come to you in your life, you should ponder them. You should wonder why they're there. If we know that all things work together for our good, then we know that something that's coming into our life that we may think is a negative circumstance, if it's there in our life, maybe we ought to ask why it's there. It could be the chastening hand of God. Or it could be God trying us like he did Abraham on the mount when he asked him to offer his son Isaac. But it's there for a reason, so it would be good for us to consider the circumstances of our life and even ask God, God, why is this here? Is there sin in my life, Lord? Or are you teaching me a lesson? What is there about this that I need to know? Are you trying to increase my faith as you teach me to walk through these circumstances? Anyway, if afflictions come to us in our lives, we ought to ask and consider why they're there. Now, you'll notice in your title, I don't know if your Bible will have the title to this psalm as mine does, but it says, to the chief musician, even to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. David addresses this psalm, which is a critical and somber thought about the vanity of life and about the brevity of life. And in order to properly promote the ideas that David is giving us in this psalm, he wants the chief musician, Jeduthun, to write the music so that the proper tone can be set as we read this psalm. You know, when we think about this, you know, in our modern society now, when you watch a movie, you know, they're always using music to set the tone, to set the emotion, to make your mind to think. A lot of times you can tell what's going to happen in a TV show or in a movie by the music that's in the background. You know, in grocery stores, they want nice, smooth, easy music for you so that you're more likely to stay there in the store so that you purchase more. So here David uses that as in writing the music for this psalm to set the tone. An interesting thing about Jeduthun, and I'm not going to turn to 2 Chronicles 35:15, but Jeduthun there is called David's seer. He's called David's seer. More than likely, he is the medium of divine guidance for David. Jeduthun is who God speaks through to kind of help David on his way. So, in this case, maybe Jeduthun encouraged David to think about the circumstances of his life. And then David also looks into the future. He encouraged him to think about his future. Now, we'll just read verses 1 and 2 here real quickly, because the purpose of this psalm is really outlined for us here. Psalm 39, verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my soul, my sorrow was stirred. There's one particular commentator that thinks this psalm that David wrote as a young man because he was encouraged to consider his words and learning how to control his tongue. You know, that's very good advice for us when we're young, and it's very good advice to give to our children when they're young to learn how to control their tongue. And I never will forget Mr. Lyles. He was the assistant principal in high school, and he was my Algebra 1 teacher, and he said, children are to be seen and not heard. And he said, I don't expect to hear you in this classroom. But he taught us to watch our words. And my dad's famous line, I know you all have heard this, but Dad said, son, it's better to keep your mouth shut and be assumed a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. And so, I just remember those things teaching me that I ought to keep my mouth shut. And I've had to learn some difficult lessons by not keeping my mouth shut in my lifetime. But here David is considering taking heed to his words so that he sins not with his tongue. Another thing for us to understand, it is possible for you to sin with your tongue. So again, it's another reason why we should consider our words. Most commentators will view this as a funeral psalm, often sung at funerals. And it's sung at funerals because it does talk about the brevity of life. And so we do need to think about that, because life truly is brief. Now, in studying this psalm, there were several titles attached to this psalm, and I thought it was good to share several of them with you. One title was The Vanity of Life. Another title for this psalm was Prayer for Wisdom and Forgiveness. Another title was Praying for Healing in Sickness, a Lament. Another title, The Confession of a Sufferer. Lastly, Insignificance of Human Beings Before God. All of those are fitting titles for this psalm. As we learn, as David reflects upon his life, he reflects maybe upon the chastening hand of God that God had given him in Psalm 38, and now he's reflecting upon that, and he pins this psalm, and we'll get into it as we read the entire thing. But we want to keep in mind, and I know that you all know this, but human life is so frail. It is so fragile. It is temporary. And the sad thing is, we generally spend too much time focusing on the things that aren't important. We need to focus on the right things. A commentator said it seems Solomon even might have read this psalm before writing Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, always vanity. And so all of those things are to prepare us, to try to help us to understand this psalm as David wrote it. Psalm 39:1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. You know, let me mention this right there. You know, a lot of people have, and when I talk to them about being 52 and being concerned about, you know, dad having his heart attack at 52 and my grandfather having his heart attack at 52. And as I've thought about the age of 52, people, well, you're crazy to do that. Listen here, David said he wanted to know how frail he is. We all need to consider that. We're not going to live forever. And we ought to live today like today may be the last day of our lives. We can think about the things that you would do differently if you knew that today was the last day that you would live upon this earth. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner as all my fathers were. O spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. So verses 1-3, we see David considering the afflictions caused by sin. David is saying here he needs to take heed to his ways. And that is of utmost importance to us, that we take heed to our ways. As a matter of fact, that's the problem with the world in which we live today. Too many people don't consider their ways. They don't consider the outcome of their actions. They don't consider how their actions might influence someone else. The same way with words. You know, he said he wanted to guard his words and so he wouldn't sin with his tongue. And we should always consider the effect of our words on someone else before we say them. If we speak words without taking consideration of what the outcome of our words might be, we need to guard against that. We need to make sure that we do take into consideration the outcome of our words. And too many people do not. As a matter of fact, while we're here and we're living in the 21st century, we ought to also take into consideration our posts on social media. Now, I know some of you aren't avid users of social media, but it is very prevalent in our society today. And if you just post whatever without taking consideration for it, not only how it might affect you, not only how it might affect those that are hearing it, but listen, how is what you're doing going to affect the kingdom of Christ? Is it going to affect the kingdom of Christ? You know, we need to consider these things. Take heed to our ways. And the reason that we need to take heed to our tongue, that we sin not with our tongue, is because we know that our tongue, what comes out of the mouth, reveals what's in the heart. And so if your tongue speaks lies, if your tongue speaks vulgarity, if your tongue speaks hatred, if your tongue speaks anger, it's because those things are residing in the heart, and we need to take consideration of that. David says that I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Keeping your tongue is wise. Especially, notice he says, when the wicked is before me. When he's amongst the wicked, he's very careful with the words he says. He doesn't want the wicked to have words that they can use against him, so that they can change his words and maybe to say that he said something that he didn't really say. It's very wise to keep silent sometimes. So we need to pay attention to that. David says, and again, he's thinking about his afflictions and saying, when the wicked maybe are condemning him, he's being quiet and he's and he's not maybe even defending himself. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my soul was stirred. When facing this affliction from God, it is important. It was important for David. It is best to remain silent. Just as Job did. Job did not sin against God with his lips. Guarding what you say. Not very common in our society today, but very necessary for us to make sure that we do not sin with our mouths. Verse 3, my heart was hot within me. How did David view his afflictions? Think about this. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. David considered his thoughts. He mused upon them. He considered what was going on in his life, and he was considering his afflictions. And while he was remaining quiet and he was considering what was going on in his life, that friction of the mental thoughts that he was having as he mused upon them, it caused an intensity, I guess, in his heart. You ever think about things, and the more you think about it, the more excited you get, and the more excited you get, it's like that fire burning in your heart. That's where David was as he considered his afflictions. You can see this is not just some passing thought or idea. Affliction should cause us to ponder. These things are coming upon me. Why are they coming upon me? Is it because of something I said? Is it because of something I did? Is God bringing judgment upon me? David considered all of those things, and then he spoke. It was only after much thought and consideration that David spoke. And notice what David said. The meditation upon his frailty and mortality. Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measures of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Those same kind of words are spoken in Psalm 90 in verse number 12. Again, the psalmist reflecting upon the events of his life and coming to the point that he understands his frailty. Notice he says in Psalm 90 in verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. See, if we take our time and we consider our days and we understand our days are few, we can apply wisdom to them. And as David says here, to know our end. Well, think about that. What is our end? What is your end? What is your end going to be? Probably every one of us here, we know what our end is going to be. Our end is that we're going to take that step of death and we're going to cross from this world to the next world. And then we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and our works are going to be judged. And based upon our works and their judgment will be determined whether we receive rewards or not. That's going to be our end. And then we're going to spend eternity based upon what we've gained according to those works. In other words, you know there's different places in heaven, so to speak. Not that anyone's more glorious than the other, but the rewards they make a difference in our eternity. So what is your end? You need to consider that. And you need to consider, what have you done for the Lord? And is it going to be, have you done enough, or not enough, but have you done that which is going to be rewarded? So if I consider my end and the measure of my days, here's the point. Since we don't know when our end is, when we don't know when the end of our days are going to be, we should live like we're dying. We should live with the world to come in view. Living like we might stand before the Lord tomorrow. live like there's so much to do and there's so little time to do it in that we need to be about the Father's business. We may not have a multitude of days to talk to our families about the Lord. We may not have a multitude of days to seek the Lord's sheep. We may not have a multitude of days to bring glory to God with our lives and let our light shine. So we need to live like we're dying and understand the frailty of life. David wanted to know how frail he is, and so should we. Of course, David there in verse number 5 just talks about how age is nothing compared to eternity. And then he says, at best, the best state, it's altogether vanity. It's vanity. The riches of this world, everything that this world has, it's altogether vanity. And I know you know that, but I want you to look at verse number 6. Surely every man walketh in vain. Surely they are disquieted in vain. Worry is vain. Men fret and men fume and worry all for nothing. And think about the second part of that. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Think about that. You plan all of your life you build all of your life to build up your bank account and build up your retirement accounts and to gain all of this world that has to offer, and you really don't know who's going to collect all of that. You think you know. You've left word for who you want to have all of that, but you don't know for sure who's going to get it, because your best intentions may not be followed through with, because once you're not here, who knows? It happens. We've heard of it, haven't we? We've heard of it happening. And the thing about that is, you know, people work hard to gain all of that, and they scrimp and they save and all that. And the person that comes along behind you, how often do they have the same attitude about what you have that you had? Do they know the hard work that you had to put in to acquire all of that? They don't. Many times it's just squandered away. What people spend their whole lives working for and trying to gain, this little piece of land, this little piece of riches and all of that. And the people that come along behind it, they don't mean anything to me. I think about some things of my dad's, and I think about how important they were to him. They meant nothing to me. And I think how that some of them I have squandered away. Nothing big. Just a little, I'll just be honest with you, just a little camp stove. I mean, it means nothing to anybody really, but it was one of my dad's pride and joys. We went camping a few times a year, and he had this little stove, and hooked propane up to it, you know, and it was something that he had fabricated by someone, and I mean, he loved that thing, and I let somebody borrow it, and I never did get it back after Dad was gone, and it meant something to him, but it meant nothing to me. You know, that's what David's talking about here. People build and work and try and save and scrimp and whatever, and then it's gone. Think about the things that we're spending our time and our effort on, and they're just going to be gone in an instant. David is considering all of that, his frailty and his mortality. Now David, in verses 7 through 13, David appeals for relief from his affliction. So now David is considering his life. He's thinking about the frailty of life. He thinks about those things that he spent his life on. He thinks about what's going to be left behind in someone's. He doesn't know who's going to collect it. He doesn't know who's going to gather it. And now listen to his prayer. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. You see, no matter what these afflictions are that's coming in David's life, and even though David is considering the frailty of his life and the vanity that is in life, listening, he said, God, what am I waiting for? My hope is in Thee. All of these other things, They're unimportant. They don't matter. My hope and all that I have, it is in Thee. And that's the place we all need to come to in our lives. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. David knows that he sits under affliction from God. And he's asking Him, don't allow these to consume me. Okay, so I'm being chastened. And I understand that. And it's deserved. I think David knew that the afflictions that he was experiencing, they were deserved. But God, listen, how does he phrase it? Make me not the reproach of the foolish. Don't afflict me so much that the wicked laugh because of the condition that I come in. God, don't allow them to laugh at who I am for me putting my faith in You before because I'm trusting in You. God, don't destroy me so that I become the laughingstock to the lost world. You see, David doesn't want God to consume him, even though he probably does. Notice verse 9, I was dumb, I opened not my mouth because Thou didst it. He kept his mouth shut. He didn't complain. He knew he was under the hand of God. He knew he was facing the affliction from God, the chastening hand of God, and he stayed quiet. Remove Thy stroke away from me. I'm consumed by the blow of Thine hand. You can see David's heart. David is asking God, please, remove these afflictions from me. I am being consumed. I'm being overwhelmed. Lord, I understand they're from Your hand. You can see the repentance that is in his heart as he asks God to remove his hand. Here's the repentance. When Thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, Thou makest his beauty consume away like a moth. He knew that he was being corrected because of his iniquity, and he understands that when it comes, what we have is consumed like a moth in a flame. It goes away quickly. So David is expressing his repentance towards God and asking God to remove it from him. Verse 12. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not Thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with Thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. Plead here for relief. The afflictions have accomplished their purpose. He's brought to tears. He understands he's a stranger. He feels estranged from God. He's asking God to remove it. You know, have you ever been afflicted by God and it accomplished its purpose? I can guarantee you this, if you are afflicted by God, it will accomplish its purpose. One thing we always need to remember this. And I teach this at the mission, and let's always remember that when we are disciplining someone, it's not punishment, it's discipline. Discipline is about a change of action. If all you're doing is you tell someone to do this, and it's dealing with your children more than likely, but it could be a grandchild or whatever, but, you know, pick up that pen in the floor. No. And you apply discipline. Pick up the pen in the floor. You need to go back and make them pick up the pen. You need to apply the discipline in such a way that eventually they pick up the pen. Because if you don't make them pick up the pen, you've allowed them to be rebellious against you, and that rebellion will only grow. God encourages you to pick up the pen, and David is at the point where he has picked up a pen. God, I've done what You've told me to do. God, I've repented of my sin. I've picked up the pen. Let's remember that discipline is always to bring about a change in action. And if you don't bring about the change in action, you've never accomplished discipline. That's why our world's in such a mess, because Some people only punish their children, and our society doesn't make people change their actions, and so we're in the mess that we're in. We don't have any respect for authority, and we don't have any, people no longer have any respect for themselves. Anyway, I don't want to chase that rabbit, but let's remember this. David is saying, God, your afflictions have accomplished their purpose, and discipline always does. It always accomplishes its purpose, which is a change of action. I have in here in my notes, be forewarned, learn from David. David had to go through God's affliction to learn the lesson not to sin against God. Learn from David. Understand if you sin in rebellion against God, God will bring affliction and God will change your heart and God will change your life to make you what He desires for you to be. So learn from David's example and don't have to learn the lesson on your own. David, lastly, oh, spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. It's simple, isn't it? Spare me so I can recover before I die. David understood that he was underneath the hand of God, and God was bringing affliction into his life, and it was affliction that caused him to repent. We all need to consider our ways. We all need to consider our words. And the warning is, if you are under affliction, seek it to find out if it's from God. And then, remember, your days are but few. Live them for the Lord. Live them for what really matters. Honor God with your life while you have time. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this time that we have to be together tonight. We thank You that we can learn lessons from the life of David and not have to learn them on our own. I pray that You bless Your people this week as they go out into the world and they go out and serve You. I pray, God, that they will understand the brevity of life and they will live as if today's the last day of their life. And they will honor You with all that they have, because, God, You truly are worthy. Bless Your people, we pray. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.